From a tranquil alpine valley situated in the Sangre de Cristo's mountains of New Mexico comes one of the highest elevation distilleries in America. Sitting at just below 9,000 feet, Red River Distillery is proud to offer you their spirits. And they're now available all throughout the great state of Texas by way of Greenlight Distributing. Red River Distillery, because you deserve quality and you deserve quality time.
Folks, you found it. The most unprofessional little podcast there ever was. Ain't much else to say. Just sit back, sip on some whiskey, and be entertained. Because the Whiskey Bros are about to make love to your ears.
So you changed the voice a little bit.
I did it? Or has it just been that long since you've heard it?
Yeah, maybe. It's been a long damn time. Dude, I thought we were at least like 124 episodes deep.
We had enough time to gain that many, but we just didn't get it done.
Damn. Okay.
I feel like it's been a month since we've had a bona fide podcast.
Like real podcast.
We did the little PMS. I mean, we're going to continue with those.
Yeah.
But this is the first one since, I don't even want to look at the date, early December.
Yeah, probably.
But we're in a new year. Fucking-
I mean, there's a reason. Like, Christmas happened. Illness happened.
It's like, yeah, our little one ended up with RSV, which meant my wife ended up with RSV, which meant my mom and then my mother-in-law. And like, everybody got whacked.
You can't win sometimes. No. This flu bug is going around.
You were like, literally, as you put it, spiraling the drain once again with flu A.
Yeah, flu A.
Okay.
It's the worst flu A I've ever had.
It was pretty bad.
Yeah.
Because I think I tried to get a hold of you for a couple of days, and I finally just wrote your wife, and she's like, man, he hasn't left bed. Sorry. I'm like, well, can you go check his pulse? Can you tell me if he's breathing?
And I am a wuss. You know, I'll be first to state, whenever it comes to illness, I suck.
You are categorically a male. So we are all there for pussies when it comes to being sick.
Yes, that would be me. But
when we're sick, it's what women must feel like when they're giving birth.
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, they take what we do and they just like take it in stride.
Yeah. They're lucky though. Like, they only give birth for like what, up to 24 hours? Like, we're sick for, you know, up to a week.
Yeah. I mean, speaking of PMS, like, they get it once a month, a lot of them, a lot of females.
Mm-hmm.
And we could not go on, you and I. I don't know.
Are you trying to prevent yourself digging a hole right here, right now? I can see like the editing and the censoring going on in your head.
Yeah, I know. What am I going to explain whenever I have to get home?
What are we all going to have to explain? We do have quite a few female listeners, surprisingly. And they liked it when we got a little risque. I don't know when we pushed the envelope. I was surprised to hear some of the positive feedback of when we did push the envelope, and where we would classically think, oh, this is getting close to the vault.
Yeah, but that they people ate it up.
Our
female listeners, like, as much as anybody.
Beavis and Butthead and South Park are successful for a reason.
Yeah,
people love idiots. We're here to serve.
Oh, and our female listeners will be the first to tell us whenever we got something wrong.
Oh yeah, definitely. Well,
that's
good.
Nice.
We like encourage feedback.
Yeah.
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 Engage listenership.
If we F it up,
yeah.
Damn well better let us know.
Engage listenership is our goal. Our mantra. So welcome back to most recently frozen tundra of the North Texas DFW corridor.
Yeah.
It's a wild winter blast we just had, too.
Sure. I mean, and it was nothing compared to...
a snowpocalypse?
Yeah. Yeah, that was Snowmageddon.
Yeah, but it was cold and it was snowy. Yeah. I got it wrong, dude. I put out a Facebook post that was like, you people are... Everybody's hyping this shit up so bad, and we're going to get squat. We didn't get squat. We got 9 solid inches.
Yeah.
Of pure white driven snow.
So how do you form your weather opinions?
they're all anecdotal, and based on my 40 years of existence and seeing, I remember, you know, when weather forecasts are like, well, don't worry, folks, we're just going to get a dusting of snow. Boom, 2 feet of snow.
Yeah.
We've never actually gotten 2 feet here, but you know what I'm saying. Or everybody stay home, ice, snow, it's a snowpocalypse, and we get squat.
Mm-hmm.
So listen.
So do you inform it based off of stuff you're looking at on the internet?
Yeah, meteorology.
I'm following.
I haven't even had a sip of whiskey yet.
To take a sip of whiskey. That's the problem.
Minor case. From Beam. No, Limestone Branch, who also makes Yellowstone. Not affiliated with the Yellowstone show, which also ended, too.
Mm-hmm.
I think since we've spoken here last.
Yeah, have you watched that?
Mm. I thought it was a good ending.
Okay, I haven't watched it, but apparently it's going to be a while before it's available on Street Paramount.
Like, yeah, you have to either buy the episodes or wait.
Yeah, guess we're waiting.
So I shouldn't talk about the ending.
No, probably not yet.
I will just
probably not for the sake of a lot of our listeners as well.
Touche, yeah. So all I will say is that there was a tendency, in my opinion, that the writing got pretty damn lazy. I think, you know, Sheridan farmed some of the shit out because, you know, he's got 14 other shows going on at the same time. Good for him. He's a Fort Worth boy. Even better. Yeah.
Obviously successful.
Putting Landman's out there, putting Fort Worth on the map. Congratulations to Fort Worth. But the ending, I thought, was really well done and wrapped it up nicely.
Okay.
I have to be completely honest about that. I thought it was as well done. So props to Taylor Sheridan and crew.
So
even though they're not listening to this podcast, but if they happen to run across the Whiskey Bros.
Sure.
Yeah.
I mean, somebody from that outfit is listening to us.
Somebody somewhere. It's the 6 degrees of separation thing.
Yeah.
Like, I either know somebody or you know somebody. Actually, I know who I know that grew up with Taylor. So.
Yeah. Okay. Yeah. So.
So there's some degree of separation that we know somebody that's involved with somebody that knows somebody.
So, if you hear this, any of the Sheratons, we have strong opinions about what you do.
Yes, we do. And grateful for you putting Fort Worth on the map. That's, you know, kind of our hometown, too. Even though we're from the small podunk town of Cutshoot.
Yeah.
I have some recent relative, you know, when we joked about where we, you know, disclosing where we were from.
Cutshoot.
Doing this. Yeah, Cutshoot.
Yeah.
I had some shit popped up on Facebook that I'm like, and it involves my kids. And I don't know if you've ever had this, but some creeper I found in my message request box. His name, I know his name. It's burned into my memory. He's from New York, and all it was, hey, you have a cute daughter.
What?
And I'm like,
what?
I wrote him back, and I said, you better hope our paths never cross in real life.
Wow.
And then I also said, please do the world a favor and eat a bullet.
Oh, Jesus Christ.
So, yeah, we don't like pedophiles.
Yeah, I gotcha.
So...
Okay, so that's rough. Like, do you just wish he'd find a church?
No.
It's like, no, because there's potential victims.
In churches, yeah.
In churches. Whoa, geez, man, that's hard.
Yeah, the Catholics, oops. Well, you know, altar boys.
You just brought it up. Wow. Yeah.
I did. I can't go there.
So
back to the topic we were speaking of earlier. Yeah, your flu bug was pretty fucking brutal.
Mm-hmm.
You were out for a week and a half.
Yeah,
almost.
I lost.
Bedridden for 4 days.
Yeah, I lost about 2 days, like in my head, in my experience. Apparently, I obtained like 2 concussions.
Did you fall?
Yeah.
Dude. Yeah.
Like being out of bed when I should not have been out of bed.
Mm.
And my wife was like, you better get your ass back to bed.
Oh, so let me guess, because I have been through a bad flu episode. You get disoriented and so dehydrated.
Yes,
like
that's correct.
I don't care if you put a water hose up your butt and just let it flow. Like, you can't keep up with your hydration.
Right.
It's impossible. And with that comes like the delirium and...
Ew, it was. It was.
So you fell.
Delirious. I was delirious enough. I told you about that. I spent some time there kind of watching the green light on my smoke detector.
Yes.
Yeah, climbing through the jungle trying to get into bed with me.
Interesting.
And that's kind of how I was seeing things. I was like, I knew it wasn't right. I was like, yeah, something, but it was much like a psychedelic experience.
Were there any other medications you were taking that would have enhanced that experience, or where it was enhancing?
Yeah, possibly Ambien.
You really have...
It's like normal dose of Ambien, but exceptional biologic...
Circumstances. Do you really need sleeping medication when you're that sick?
No, but...
You figured, fuck it, I don't have anything else to do.
I mean, yeah, you know, it's not... You're not thinking about things logically.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I have some friends that can tell you about experiences that I've had with Ambien, especially, you know, like taking it.
Yeah, something about like gummy bears?
Jelly beans, yeah.
Jelly beans, yeah.
I just saw some of the texts that I was sending back in the day. I'm like, I'm not taking Ambien recreationally anymore. Do not take Ambien and fight it to stay awake, because
it's a bad idea.
You will hallucinate and dream as if you were sleeping. Whether you're sleeping or not, your brain's like, I'm sleeping.
It was a hallucination and a dream happening at the same time.
So have they dialed Ambien in? Because I remember back in the day when it, you know, was first introduced, like, yeah, it helped people sleep, but there were MFers.
It does for a lot of people.
Yeah.
Yeah.
But there was also people functioning and going to the store while they were sleeping, or driving while they were sleeping.
That's true, too.
Or cooking a fucking dinner while they're sleeping.
I always put that number at 5%. 5% of people are going to be able to actually get up, engage with meaningful activity, and not know that
they're not conscientious of it.
Right.
That's terrifying.
I know. That's...
What if you're on Ambien right now at the studio having a conversation with me, and tomorrow I'm like, hey, man, that was a great podcast. And
you're like, what?
What are you talking about?
What? I have no recollection.
I haven't seen you in a month, man. What are you talking about?
Oh, there has been an occasional conversation with my wife after I take my medicine, and then I have the conversation. And then she proceeds as if she knows I'm going to forget everything that we talk about.
I think our wives have all become accustomed to that.
Yeah, yeah. But sometimes I surprise her, and I can actually recount the conversation entirely. Mm. And so it's like one conversation. It's unproductive to do that, because you have a conversation that should have occurred once, mm-hmm. now has to occur twice.
Okay.
And
that was related to Ambien?
No, that's just like anything.
Oh, okay.
Like, yeah. Did that's or just, said something to piss her off. And
oh, well, that's just marriage in general, right?
Like, yeah, it is. It's part of it.
Yeah. Sometimes you reciprocate a conversation, or it's redundant.
Mm-hmm.
So it
mm-hmm.
happens more than once.
Yeah. Usually she's right.
I saw you looking at my shirt earlier.
Oh, yeah. I love that one.
Has Joe Biden cured cancer.com?
No, he has not.
Nope. Not our website.
Not that I'm aware.
Not our website, but we have a very, very small window of time that I can still wear this shirt and it be relative.
Yep.
So the answer, if you want to search for yourself, go to this website or listen to us who have been there to fact check it. And the answer is no.
Everything's Whiskey Bro fact check.
So, yeah, but we have
everything we talk about.
100%. Everything we talk about. Mm-hmm. Man, this whiskey is good. I haven't had this in a while.
Yeah, it's really good.
Minor Case from, see if I can get that to focus. Come on now. There we go. From the Limestone Branch Distillery. Yeah, like if you've seen the Yellowstone products in the store, this is their rye. And God, it's so good.
Yeah.
You need some more?
Yeah.
We're washing down. Obviously, you did get over the flu. So you're here.
Yes.
Not currently on Ambien.
It sucked. I shat myself like 5 times.
Oh, my God.
Yeah.
That's part of it, huh?
It really is.
Not only did you get like the body aches and
the
everything.
The GI stuff.
You got the GI stuff, too.
Yeah. Ooh. And this version of flu right now is a very GI flu.
Is this the one they're calling a norovirus?
Well, no. There is a norovirus and a rotavirus that's going around as well.
So there's
also GI bugs.
And RSV.
Yeah, and then RSV, it's a bit of a cesspool out there.
So,
yeah.
But you told me, we had this conversation before, you told me it's like, people, you need to get out and get exposed.
It's true, we got to get a flu down then.
Get a flu, get sick, overcome it, deal with it.
Yeah.
Because there's like this bird flu thing, that's a serious bug, right?
Yes.
It is bird flu, not swine flu, bird flu.
If it ever happens... Right? Mm-hmm. It's not going to be fun.
Okay. But there's right? there's been instances where the thing is mutated and jumped into human. They're very, very isolated instances. But
man, I really liked Brett Weinstein's kind of description of this. Right? So and I am paraphrasing massively. But you know, to go from one species spread to another species spread. Okay. Birds can pass this bird flu between themselves, right? And occasionally that flu can go into humans from birds. Right? So it has to learn in martial arts.
Yes.
In order to do so.
Which doesn't happen instantaneously.
Right. Right. Okay. So now, in order to go from bird to human and then human to human, it has to learn two martial arts. Right? So in the natural world, it's not common for viruses to gain transmissibility.
Okay.
Yeah, within another host or another type of animal.
So this person could have contacted this, got this pathogen, but is really unable to transmit it to others.
Exactly. But it's still going to suck.
So
but
far.
Yeah, whenever the bird flu learns that next martial art. And it's really strange because viruses have different ways that they can learn a martial art. Okay? And one of the most popular ways right now is actually in a lab.
Yeah.
So we just teach it the martial art.
Gain of function.
Yes,
Where exactly. have we heard that before?
I don't know.
Like COVID? Was there a pandemic that might have happened?
No, this is a scientific term. It's used among biologists right now.
Yeah, I remember virologists. Rand Paul like raking Fauci across the coals and using that term. I haven't heard from Rand Paul. He's been very strangely quiet
The
last year.
I don't know the reason.
Yeah, and that's unlike him.
Yeah.
He's usually outspoken, and rightfully so. Like, he's a good voice to have in the mix.
Yeah.
But, yeah, gain of function. So
it could happen. Bird flu could happen.
Back to the point of go out and get sick, folks.
Yeah, get some flu.
Have a toddler.
Carefully.
Yeah.
And
consult your doctor.
Yeah.
Let them help you.
Take some Tamiflu.
Yeah.
It's like... Oof. Yeah, if I'd been in my right mind, I would have started Tamiflu right away.
You were too late.
Yeah, but one thing that was fairly nice is once I had figured out, it's like, oh, fuck, this is flu A that I'm dealing with. Next was my mother-in-law. Next was my daughter. And so we were like Johnny on the spot with that Tamiflu.
Okay.
And it actually, it
helped
tremendously.
All right, so what about,
the day.
Sarah has had this issue with what is it? The M doctor from McCullough?
No, yeah, McCullough.
But he's out of Dallas, right? So he is using did we talk about this? I can't remember. He's using nicotine patches to fight spiked proteins. And it's effective.
That's awesome.
So was that flu bug?
Even thinking about that makes me want to have a good snuff. Can I have your spit cup over there?
Oh, yeah, yeah.
Hell yeah.
See?
Boom.
Go out and get your Copenhagen, folks. There's a mixture of shit in the air. Go get your Copenhagen and fight those spike proteins off. Flu bug is not a spiked protein, is it?
No.
Okay. So this would just pertain to, like, coronaviruses.
Right.
Okay.
Right. But that was the assertion, I believe, is that people with long COVID are still dealing with the spike protein and that the nicotine helps with that.
Or spike proteins introduced by intravenous or intramuscular type injection things.
So that brings up
something
another
like vaccines, maybe?
Handy subject is females dipping snuff. How do you feel about it?
Well, luckily, there's a workaround for that. But
if you're
talking to
nicotine,
like you got a girl that's like, I need some of my Copenhagen.
Yeah.
It's kind of like smoking to me. It's kind of a turnoff. I mean, if Sarah was like, I need to go out and get my skull.
So smoking is a turnoff for you?
Yeah, definitely.
Wow.
100%.
Okay.
Yeah. But coincidentally, all those smokers were not dying from COVID because they were full of nicotine. But yeah, I don't know, man. I don't want to kiss somebody with
That smoke breath.
Smoke breath or dip.
Like, a big old wad.
But, and I can't stand it.
Okay.
Like, if somebody was out right here offering me $500,000 to kiss you right now, it would be hard for me to do it because your breath would taste or smell and taste like dip.
Half a million. Come on.
Dude.
Half a million?
It depends. Is there tongue or no tongue?
Man.
We had this some of the conversations we have up at establishments in this town. That one got brought up the other day. I'm not going to go into details, but I'm saying, yeah, the just the dip aroma and that all, it's all disgusting to me.
Yeah.
I've tried it. You know, you grow up around here and it's like everybody dips, like, you're a pussy if you don't dip, blah, blah,
yeah.
blah.
Yeah.
And I tried it and I got sicker than shit. And that was it.
Yeah, it just didn't stick after that.
I got extremely high. I was like, wow, this is great. And then mm-hmm. I got extremely nauseous and just puked up my toes, man.
See, and here's what's strange. Very occasionally, I love to bum a good cigarette.
Yeah. Okay.
I love a good cigarette.
On the occasion, admittedly, yeah, I do like to have a, you know, I don't think I could smoke a whole one anymore.
Yeah. Yeah, yeah.
But a few drags, there's just like...
See, when I'm out with Chad, I'm bumming from that guy's back crazy.
You just have to be a piece of shit every now and then, right?
Yeah, you
like
do.
You remember that country song, I Like My Women a Little on the Trashy Side?
Yeah.
So I kind of like, you know, that's me. Every now and then I want to smoke a cigarette and be kind of a piece of shit.
It's fine.
No offense to those that are smokers.
Sure.
But yeah, but back to the skull and the dip thing. What do you Okay, I've been rambling on. What are your thoughts on women and dipping?
I've known two other women that dip snuff,
uh-huh.
and they were both good as gold.
Really?
Yeah.
Were they hot?
Kind of.
Yeah. So yeah. I went to college with a chick, and she was hot, and she dipped. And I'm like, now you're not hot.
Really? Yeah. Yeah, yeah.
Nope.
But N-O. They were very much like, you know, kind of, it's hard to describe people, but reliable.
Okay, so
salt of the earth people.
Yeah, yeah.
Like they, you know, it's like good people that you can depend on, and that's kind of, yeah, they're kind of took after their dads in that regard. I'll put it that way.
Okay.
Yeah.
Do I know either of these two ladies?
No, I don't think so, actually.
Okay.
Yeah.
Right on. I'll move my phone because it's making the things buzz. Why is it my phone's always... Do it. Who's did it the other day? It was the Chiefs, I think, had it.
Yeah.
It was the Chiefs that did it. So
is that China? It's China.
Everybody has an iPhone. They're all made from the same place. Foxconn in China, right?
Yeah, but for some reason. I don't know.
Yeah. Well, you know what it was? We discovered it was this microphone. Hand me your phone. Son of a bitch.
Nope. Oh. A little bit.
Little radioactivity coming off of there. Yeah.
See, that's probably what's going to give you mouth cancer, that microphone.
Thanks for your positive affirmation here.
Yeah. Because those waves are probably, you know.
There shouldn't be anything coming off of this. Like, it's a microphone.
Right?
There should be no electromagnetic field emitting from this thing. It's only supposed to intake. See?
Yeah. I don't know.
Don't give
There's
me
some
mouth
interference.
Cancer. I know. But we were going to talk about this.
That fucking bread.
This bread that you brought. I'm so glad it's just you and I tonight.
Yeah.
Because we've demolished literally 2/3 of this. And it'll get polished off before the night's over with.
Yeah, it will.
For sure. Sourdough made in your slightly rusty Dutch oven.
Mm-hmm. Rust is good. It's the... adds iron to the food that's cooked in.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
Yep.
Have you, did you ever watch the stuff I sent you from Dr. Berg about too much iron? Like iron poisoning?
Yeah.
And you need
yeah.
copper to help absorb it?
Yeah. Like, and a lot of the iron that people take, the non-heme iron that people take supplement-wise. Yeah.
That's where you get the poisoning from.
Yeah.
Your body can't get rid of it, nor can it utilize it.
Right.
So it's just kind of like chilling around and rusting in your
body.
It
sort of jacks with your gut, too.
Uh-huh.
A little bit.
That's what he said.
Yeah.
But the sourdough. God, that's so good.
And
okay, so you made this, right?
Yep.
So did you like, did you, oh, like, did you like get some from under cheese or some armpit juice and put in your starter.
Yeah.
That's a thing. That's really a thing. Like when we went to a sourdough class, he's like, the sourdough yeast is wild yeast that comes from everywhere and everything. That's why it's called sourdough.
Yeah. Yeah. Yeah.
So it's like people will cough in it and that's fine. I mean, you're obviously baking it. You're going to cook out any harmful bacteria.
Right.
But like you want to feed the yeast in these starters, whatever they want. So,
I mean,
the sky's the limit. Babe, have you showered this week? No, I haven't, babe. I'm making sourdough in 4 days and I want it to be a good batch. By the way, don't come.
It's a fermented product.
So don't come in the kitchen, babe. I'm making my sourdough naked. We just shot ourselves in the foot for ever selling any kind of Whiskey Bros sourdough bread.
Yeah, processed.
Nobody's going to buy that. I'm like, there's some from under cheese in my bread. No, thanks. But it's really good. It's really nutritious and dense.
From under cheese.
from under cheese. Is that the episode name?
I think it is.
From under bread.
From under. I like it. I like it.
Should it be from under bread or from under cheese?
From under cheese. It sounds so much better.
Okay. I don't know how we spell it, but we'll figure it out with our help of our graphics, in-house graphics department for sure.
Yeah. And so we now have a family starter, and she's got a name, and it's LaDasha. LaDasha.
How do you spell LaDasha?
LaDasha. So people come over, they're like, La-A? I'm like, no, it's LaDasha.
La-A?
LaDasha.
Is this Cajun? La-A?
Yeah, it's Cajun. It's Cajun, yeah.
Yes, definitely.
Yeah.
So you have a family starter. Okay, this is... That was the hardest part to me. I let my starter go to waste because you have to like cultivate it and maintain
it. Like feed it every day.
And then trim it off. And what you trim off, if you don't make bread with it, you've got to just throw it away.
Correct.
Because if you let it
and
go.
And I tossed a lot of starter just because.
You're a starter tosser, huh?
Yeah, I'm a starter tosser.
Okay.
Yeah, because I wasn't going to use it. And so every day you're giving it a little flour and a little water, mixing it around until it's kind of thickish.
With your dirty hands.
Yes.
Literally, you're not supposed to clean your hands.
Right, exactly.
Because the more microorganisms from all over the earth.
A little.
Yeah. Feed that yeast.
That's it.
And thus, keep your starter thriving.
Yeah, I've killed a few starters, but I always have a backup in the fridge, and so I just have to pull.
How have you killed them?
Well, I didn't feed them for a few days, mostly because I had the flu. Actually tedious, but I had some LaDasha in the fridge.
See, you missed an opportunity to market, like, immune-building bread. You could have coughed and, like...
Hey, you know,
gleed it all up in that starter with your flu virus, and then made batches of bread. And be like, look, if you eat this,
from under flu cheese, yeah, it's you know,
you could have sold that shit for $80 a loaf.
But you can speak to the. I mean, it's pretty good, easy recipe.
Yeah,
I use a very basic, like baker's ratio.
Mm-hmm.
So. It's what in the baking community would be considered a 70% bread or a 70% dough, meaning the 70% of the flour content is how much water is in there.
Okay.
So in this case, there's 500 grams of flour and then 350 grams of water.
Oh, wow. Okay. Yeah, we were all set to kick off the show, but I don't know. Come do it right now because I'm eating bread. we just kept eating bread.
Dude, isn't your jaw tired from chewing the bread?
All right, so you remember. Oh, I got to keep chewing. You remember when we talked with, may not have been when we talked with them, but I think it was, the Gut Check guys.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, they brought bread.
But they also brought up the fact that, like, we're screwing ourselves from infancy on because we're not activating the jaw.
Yeah. Yeah, we're not using the muscles.
Mm-hmm.
And it goes to teeth alignment, jaw alignment.
Yeah. Breathing.
Yep.
Like the formation of the jaw and the, what is it, your?
Palate.
Yeah, but it's...
Hard palate.
Hard palate, yeah. All comes from infancy and just being fed easy stuff to eat.
Yeah.
Convenient and easy stuff instead of...
Yeah, soft foods.
Yeah, like he brought up kids in Africa don't have dental issues or snoring issues because they're fucking... their children are gnawing on whatever they can find.
Beef jerky.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So we were feeding our kid whenever she was... Even before she was... she had started teething. We were giving her ribs and just letting her chew on them. Yeah.
Yeah.
And,
awesome.
You know, they were cooked down pretty good. So it's not like she's going to pull off a big chunk and chew on it. She could get juices and chew on it and get that dexterity going. But that was their big thing is like, we're supposed to chew and have to work at chewing our food. Like it's not supposed to be an easy task.
Yeah, spoon.
Yeah,
spoon fed.
So by saying we're tired from eating bread, means our jaw is a little out of shape.
Yeah, we need to eat more.
Don't relate that to any other things that we might.
No, but it speaks to another goal of raising chillins, turning them into little foodies.
Absolutely, so, yeah.
You know,
one,
it's like,
you have two daughters. I have a daughter. Standards for potential suitors and dating.
Yes. Yes.
Like, you don't want some dude that's going to take you to the McDonald's.
No.
You want some dude that's going to be like, hey, I know what the good stuff is. We're going to go out.
Right, right.
And when she comes home, she's like, Daddy, he took me to Grace, and we had every fucking food I've ever thought is awesome escaping my mind right now.
Yeah.
We had lobster. We had risotto.
Oysters.
Yeah, yeah.
Now, oysters usually leads to sex, so maybe not the oysters.
Yeah, leave out the oysters until those kids are like 21 and off on their own.
Right, right.
But yes, if she comes home and she's like telling you about her experience from the dude or chick that they may be dating at the time, then you're like, okay, I have taught you well.
That's true.
Yeah, implemented those standards.
And it's like, okay, on any given snow day, what are they going to have around the house that they can fix for themselves?
Mm-hmm.
That's not Kraft mac and cheese.
Yeah. So in our case, it was like sausage, eggs, milk. That was about it. Because we got behind the curve on the panic buying, you know, that always goes hand in hand.
Sure. Here, Texas. Texas winters.
Mm-hmm. Yep. Yeah. Yeah. We had the essentials. We did have, man, I'm telling you, HelloFresh, y'all do it?
Oh, I have.
I like them.
I like them. I like them.
They're convenient. Everything's shipped to you. It's all recyclable.
I think ours was like blue.
Yeah, Blue Apron.
Blue Apron. Yeah.
I don't know if they're still in existence. But yeah, same thing. Like you, they some of them, like it comes in a box. It's all prepackaged. It's all packaged up nicely. It's it's cut up to where all the quantity that you need has all been separated out. And then you cook it and prepare it. And some of them are difficult.
Yeah.
Like some of them have taken me a couple of freaking hours. And then some of them are like, you know, 30-minute meals that you can just crank out some. Like tonight we had, or this afternoon we had pork.
Meal tacos. Kits. That's what they call
meal
those.
Yeah,
meal
kits.
Yeah.
But not bullshit. Like decent quality stuff and pre-portioned and ready to cook. But we had a few of those and then milk, eggs, and sausage. So what about y'all? What did y'all do on your snow days of cabined in?
We've gotten, because of this sourdough thing, we've gotten on this kick of various flatbreads.
Mm-hmm.
And so we'll throw anything into a flatbread. I think my daughter, Olivia, was the other day, she did pulled pork.
Oh, man.
Yeah. Yeah. Pulled pork, feta cheese, and apple.
That sounds amazing.
She put an apple in it.
Yeah.
And
anything
I was
for
so
a glaze?
Proud of her. Normal barbecue sauce.
Yeah.
But
man, she got the contrasting of flavors. Just nailed it.
It's pretty good. She didn't end up liking it. She was like, I thought the apple would be good in this, but it's not.
Too sweet for her?
Great. I think she threw some tater tots in there too.
Okay.
But yeah, it was a little bit too sweet but kudos for exploring.
Yeah, still a valiant effort for sure.
Yeah, yeah.
And y'all are using sourdough for the crust, right?
Yep.
So it's like, every time I've had pizza with sourdough crust or, well, they're not open anymore, but 1860 had the cauliflower crust.
Yeah.
That's they're good.
Good.
Yeah, they work. They're good. Mm-hmm. And you don't feel like a disgusting piece of shit when you eat too much of it.
Right.
Like you do with regular breads.
Like,
white breads.
Domino pizza dough.
Yep, Domino's.
That shit.
So sourdough, man, that's...
That's cool.
We're going to finish this off, but yeah.
And it's coming back. You know, it's always been around in the crunchy community.
Yeah.
You know, these like crunchy homeschool families.
Mm-hmm.
Love y'all. I wouldn't consider myself crunchy, but it's like sourdough is starting to kind of make a comeback.
Mm-hmm.
And I've already given like a version of this starter to somebody else.
Mm.
And they're
making
sourdough.
It's the gift that keeps on giving.
Yeah, really.
So you can share your starter.
Yeah.
You shared LaDasha.
Yeah, and you tell them. It's like, look, you're going to fuck this up, and that's fine.
Yeah.
You just let me know when you do, because I'll have more starter,
yeah.
And then you'll probably fuck that up, and that's okay, too.
Because there's always more. It just keeps self-replicating.
Yeah.
It just keeps giving. But yeah, I think the gist of that is, like, we're supposed to eat stuff that makes us work.
Yeah. That's right.
So burgers.
Burgers are a complex thing.
Yeah, because you got to chew them, man.
Yeah.
You want to... fucking big asshole, you gotta open that gape that mouth and just get down on it.
See, and to make a good burger, you have to, it's not just about the meat, it's not just about the cheese, it's not just about the bun, but it's how do these go together in a manner that actually stays together.
Mm-hmm.
I've eaten a lot of really shitty burgers that had some amazing things on them that disassembled themselves in my hand.
Yeah, okay, right? So the trick usually is like turn it upside down, which is no fault of the person making the burger. It's the fault of the manufacturer of the buns because they make the bottom bun too thin.
Yep, exactly. I mean, think about your classic Whataburger.
Mm-hmm.
You know, that bun, that bottom, not to down Whataburger, it's obviously got a big following, but that bun is thin.
Yeah, it is.
Bottom.
Yeah, if you don't get to that thing, like it's a soggy biscuit by the time you get to it. Never mind.
What?
Yeah. My mind went to a dark, dark place.
Oh, man. Certain initiation ceremonies?
Yeah.
Yeah, I got you. That's...
Oh, God. So homeschooling, and speaking of that, weren't we talking about a new trend called unschooling?
Yeah.
Tell me about this.
I don't really know what to make of it. It's actually my daughters that are bringing this up.
Unschooling.
It's kind of the modern version of dropping out.
Okay.
Dropping out of school.
Yeah. So we would call those kids back in the day dropouts.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Now they're unschooled.
And they became, you know, kind of criminals.
Yeah, I know.
So
I've got some concern, obviously, about this.
Sure, yeah.
That this is a subject matter that's being discussed in my household. And there's no... My household... runs very democratically, believe it or not.
Mm-hmm.
It's not, you know, if you know, say Heath's household compared to my household, you know, he's very patriarchic.
Heath is a republic. Like, thanks for your opinion, but my decision has been made.
Yes. Yes. There is a long, heavy conversation that runs through my household.
So you are majority rules in your household.
I mean... I try to compel proper thinking.
So you're good on
subject matter.
You're good at demagoguery and
bullshitting,
filibustering.
Yeah, bullshitting.
A lot of filibustering going on in your house. Okay.
Mm-hmm. But the nature of school is changing so fast. So my girls are online school.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, 7th and 9th grade. So they have this online curriculum. We've seen the curriculum transform in the time that we've been part of this school.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. And then we've also seen ChatGPT come in to their, by virtue of me being ChatGPT nerd, right? Come into their curriculum in a way that it's transforms the curriculum.
Okay.
Okay. And so very often the question is, okay, why can't we just do a ChatGPT version of curriculum?
Because you would, because man, that takes off, that takes away our evolution, right? And the ability to critically think and learn, right? Does that not get to a point where ChatGPT or AI
that's scary.
Is enabling us to be lazy?
Sure.
Some aspects, that's great. Some aspects, it increases productivity and takes out.
But
you know,
it'll bang out a history paper like it was nothing.
But you haven't learned anything.
Maybe you read the paper that you're submitting.
Yeah, but you haven't learned anything.
Right.
You haven't gone through the time to think and put together
pull
this.
Thoughts out of yourself.
Yeah.
And formulate them into a coherent argument,
right,
so to speak.
Yeah.
And then tidy it up and submit. Mm-hmm. Yeah, that's scary.
Yeah. And then that translates to math.
Yeah.
Science.
Yeah.
Where does it end?
I don't know.
It doesn't end.
But until the question I get asked.
Until we are the fat people in WALL-E.
Right. Yeah.
That's where it ends.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. The question I get asked by my 14-year-old is, why do I need to know math?
Well, if you could invent a time machine and show her herself 30 years from now, she would understand why.
Okay.
It's a basic universal function.
And then what she says is, well, why don't I just learn math as it relates to paying taxes?
What I need to apply myself to do in life.
Yeah.
But then you don't. Like, if you don't push yourself, then you just... If you have something there that's enabling you to not push yourself or focus, then that's an aspect of critically thinking gone. Right?
Yeah, maybe. Right? Mm-hmm. You know, it's like, if I need to know the quadratic formula, if I need to know how to unpack the quadratic formula later on in life, I can just get ChatGPT to teach it to me.
Assuming that, you know, there hasn't been a giant EMP attack and modern electronics are still in play.
Mm, yeah, okay.
But if you've learned that as a core fundamental,
you
retain that ability. Now, I can speak for myself. I've been terrible at math. And I have already forgotten, even though I've learned it in school.
Yeah.
I have forgotten how to do long division.
Oh, yeah. Okay.
Don't know how to do it anymore.
Sure.
You know why? Because calculators. Once we got into junior or senior years, it was like, use your calculators for everything. Yes, they're efficient. They help out things, but you lose that fundamental knowledge that... Mm-hmm. Was it literally beaten the fuck into you writing out long division on paper?
Yeah. And now you don't even have to use the calculator. You just say, hey, Siri.
Oh, boy.
Never mind.
Here she goes.
Yeah. What's 125 divided by 5?
So you've like really opened up this riff into what we're probably going to be talking about 20 years from now. The same way we're talking about social media. Kind of a downfall of humankind. Like, I already see us being way too dependent on electronic enhancements, electronic assistance.
Assistance.
Yeah. Yeah. And so we're always talking about social media and how it's detrimental to people that are dependent on it,
mm-hmm.
or not even dependent on it. They don't know they're depending on it. Or it's the people that are in a bad mental health situation and they're just watching everybody else have the time of their life because it's a highlight reel.
Yes.
We're going to end up in the same conversation with AI 10, 20 years down the road thinking we shouldn't have given.
So what's the correct answer?
I think it's going to have to be a hard lesson learned.
Okay.
It seems to be the way the human race goes, right?
Yeah.
Well, we should have known it, but we didn't. Now we're painting for it.
I mean... Online streaming killed Blockbuster.
Mm-hmm.
But nobody's saying that was a bad death, though.
Sometimes there's admirable outcomes, right?
Right.
But it's also...
I mean, you had to go to the video store to...
You had to physically get off of your fucking couch.
Yeah.
Leave your house.
Forethought into what you were going to watch.
Oh, yeah. Now we're inundated and overloaded with options.
Yeah.
And you don't have to leave your couch.
Nope.
So you can eat your seed oil soaked popcorn and fries.
Yes.
Drink your high fructose corn syrup beverage and never have to exert a fucking calorie spent towards deciding what tonight's entertainment's going to be versus You could still eat your seed oil soaked in high fructose corn syrup infused beverage, but you had to leave your couch, leave your house, go to your vehicle, leave the vehicle, or drive the vehicle to the store, get out of the store, walk around the store maybe a few times,
yeah,
pick your movie, interact with other fucking human beings, leave the store, back to your car, to the car, or from the car to the house, in your house, and then...
Get there by the time pizza showed up.
Mm-hmm.
At your doorstep.
Yeah, but you've at least spent some energy and calories...
Yeah.
Getting to that point.
But it wasn't every night either. That was like
it was movie
and pizza night.
Bingo. Now every night is like, whoa, what do you want to watch tonight?
Yeah, exactly.
Man, we've got a Nintendo Switch. Do you remember the Wii when it came out?
Yes.
Like it had the motion activated controllers and you could play like Wii Sports. Well, that also still exists for the Nintendo Switch. And over Christmas, Santa brought a Nintendo sports game. So we're kind of trying to... Sarah has this thing where, you know about it, she has vertigo issues and any kind of like video game first person movement.
Oh, it really...
Oh, yeah. It throws her into a state of nausea like nothing. But she was able to manage with this, but I guess because she's up and interacting and physically moving with this game. So there are still entertainment options that require you to move your ass.
That's true.
Yeah.
Yeah.
They're still out there.
It's a... One of my favorite VR games is actually ping pong,
mm-hmm.
and it is.
Oh yeah,
and I know I've racked up workouts on, not Dance Dance Revolution, the Beat Saber.
Yeah. Okay. Thank you for bringing that up. I was gonna mention that there's like a guy that tracked his what do you call it? Like you wear your data whenever you're wearing your Apple Watch or your fitness data. And he burnt like 4,000 and something calories just because of how many times he played this thing in a day.
Yeah, I believe it.
And the story, Ready Player One.
Yes.
Like he had to be self-disciplined enough to run so many miles on his haptic treadmill or whatever
in order to store up credits
to be able to play the game.
Yeah.
Yeah. So maybe there's some virtue, you know, but you have to be a disciplined person.
Yeah.
You just let technology take you over and
so
you become a fat person in Wally.
I know, right? And here's what I don't understand. Because I've tried to sit around. It's like, what? Jeez, this is going to sound bad. What fat people are sitting around watching other people play video games?
Oh, that's a whole movement.
On Twitch.
Yeah, Twitch, YouTube. I forget. There's several platforms. That's... Kids don't even play video games these days.
They just watch people.
Like, what are you doing?
Yeah.
You're watching people play the video game. You fucking kids these days, I swear. You're watching. You remember our parents? Like, God damn it, get off the video game. You're going to ruin your life playing. Now there's kids watching people playing video games.
It just...
But...
It's hard not to think, like, what's the world coming to?
To an extent... We did that as kids.
We'd go sat to around and watch our buddy.
Yeah, we go watch him play.
And harass then take, him take while turns, he's man. Playing.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
We take turns. But you still had to get out of the house and in the car, go to your buddy's house, interact with your buddies, blah, blah, blah. Now, it's just a virtual way to do that, but I don't know. We're sounding like old men.
I tell you. It's like, but there, it can't be all bad.
No, I think there are some very positive attributes to it.
Yeah.
Like,
I have probably watched more lectures and conversations, like seedy philosophical conversations, you know, twice a day for the last 5 days. And this was an engagement that would not have happened in the 80s. In the 80s, you had one of these conversations that took place every once in a while where two great people would sit down and they would converse.
Mm-hmm.
Now we call them podcasts.
Oh, yeah.
Right?
Here we are.
Yeah, here we are. No, but I'm talking like, you know, Jordan Peterson level thinkers.
Intellect, yeah.
Yeah, in intellectuals and
professionals.
Really? I mean, so there has been some intellectual progress.
Mm-hmm.
It's hard to know how that's going to affect the younger generation.
Yeah, they do. Electronic and digital assistance does benefit us in that way, but is it like two steps forward, one step back because of the negative
I don't know
aspects of it?
Yeah, I don't know.
They do advance us. They do advance us for sure. And the integration into like technology such as battery powered vehicles have heavily relied on electronic and digital assistance to make themselves usable.
Right. And then you can't EMP have, comes.
And you're just, you're stalled out.
Toast. Yeah.
Well, even.
Cold weather.
Oh, yeah. That's true. So have you, did you get to deal with that?
Yeah. 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 So, this was Wednesday. Mm-hmm. Okay. So the cold weather was hitting Wednesday night. Yep. It was still very cold. Mm-hmm. Okay. And my wife was going to take the dogs to get groomed in Sunset and then stop back by Decatur, then go back to Sunset. So she had a, you know, a good 200 mile round trip planned.
Okay. In the Tesla.
In the Tesla. All right. And naturally it's like, you're doing the most driving, you take the Tesla. Well, she got back to Decatur and she was like, listen, I don't think this is going to make it. I had to go up to Decatur, switch cars with her, bring Tesla back so it could charge.
So you have the one that it has to heat. At those temperatures, it has to heat the battery pack.
That's
and
correct.
And it also has to keep the cabin of the vehicle to a
warm
appropriate temperature. So warm, yeah.
Yeah.
And that requires a lot of energy.
Yep.
So you, what percentage do you think you lost of battery power during the cold spell?
To heating? I bet it lost 50% of its capacity.
So your range is cut in half when you have a bad cold spell.
Yeah.
Okay. That's significant.
Live and learn.
That's significant. Yeah. Yeah.
And so why, this is why all of the home fleet should not be electric. Mm.
Agreed. Yeah, have your electric commuter or whatever, but when bad weather arrives,
you got to have a gas backup.
Yeah, yeah. Or electric charging available to the quantity that gas stations, like they have to be available and standardized to the effect that gas stations are. You don't have fucking gas stations that have square pegs on the nozzle.
Yeah.
The fact that we're still championing electronic vehicles, but we haven't standardized a plug yet. Which it should be Tesla's, because they have innovated it to the point where it charges the quickest.
Yep.
And a lot of manufacturers are standardizing their plugs to the Tesla standard, but there hasn't been that regulation yet to standardize the charging receptacle. Yeah, definitely. But, yes, notable technological advancements because of advancements in AI, digital advancements, AI, whatever, like... The Neuralink thing from Elon.
What's the latest on that?
You're going to have your people that are going to love to have an interface installed, and they're perfectly normal, healthy people.
Yeah.
I don't jive with that. I don't want anything. I don't want any digital.
I might.
Yeah. Okay. See? But now for the case of people that are handicapped, blind, deafened,
so those
mute.
Are easily justifiable situations.
Bingo. Yes. Right? Absolutely. A great application for technology like that.
But the dude, the first Neuralink dude, says that he can operate a gaming system faster than a normal human being because he's just thinking about it and it's making it work.
And he's not having to move a muscle.
Yep.
So
he's shown that he's faster on a computer.
That's great, but he's going to be a fat person in a hover chair with little robots bringing him drinks and Disney making an animated cartoon about him called Wall-E.
Yeah, maybe.
I'm assuming this guy is a perfectly normal dude that had no handicap.
No, he actually did.
Oh, he did? Okay.
Yeah, he was had a spinal cord injury.
Oh, okay. So it was...
So he was a quadriplegic. He was the first Neuralink patient.
All right.
And after just several months of training on the Neuralink, he like... move the mouse on the screen, click on things.
Okay, so that's
so basically controls
that's fantastic.
The cursor. Yeah.
I was assuming this person was a normal, healthy person that's like, well, now I can move your computer with my mind.
Yeah. Now, and eventually it's going to be controlling like the robotic legs or the robotic arms.
Appendages, yeah.
Yeah.
Ooh, we could get Chris Maurer back to talk about that because I'm sure he's probably privy to some things. I bet he's signed a few NDAs these last few years.
He would. That was a great conversation.
Man, it really was. But, I bet he signed a few NDAs these past years that maybe he could disclose a few things that he knows about. Maybe he can't. Maybe we'll find out. I think they're coming down this spring again, hopefully. Fingers crossed.
Awesome. That's, so, California.
Oh, yeah. Congrats to California on all of their regulations they have imposed to make their state greener and the air healthier and to really offset their carbon footprint. Oh, wait.
I kind of fucking that one up.
Oops.
Yeah.
What happened when you burn down your biggest city with 100,000 plus acres of wildfires?
What in the hell?
Have you seen the like the devastation?
Apparently it's horrible.
Oh, dude, it is insane. Insane.
So they're running out of water.
Mm-hmm. That happened within like the first 3 days, I think.
Yeah. So I was sitting at home during the snow day and looking at my ex feed, mm-hmm. you know, my form of social media.
X, formerly known as Twitter.
Yep. X, formerly known as Twitter.
We're getting so far into the X now that people are done saying that.
Yeah.
Now it's just X.
So a lady I don't follow, right? But she posted a question. She was like, okay, is it like the worst thing in the world just to get water from the ocean to spray on these wildfires? And she got so much flack for even asking the question.
Yeah.
And it sort of sent me down a rabbit hole of, okay, why are we not forcing this issue?
I can tell you two reasons why not. It would be perfectly effective of putting out fire.
Uh-huh.
But have you ever heard the phrase of salting the earth?
Yeah. It's not great for the environment.
You prevent vegetation regrowth for a very long period.
Yeah, yeah.
When you're using, and it's extremely, even though this is a crisis and an emergency situation, like any vehicle or apparatus that pumps salt water is probably going to be.
So the whole firefighter infrastructure mm-hmm. is.
Not built for salt water. It's yeah. corrosive. It's bad for equipment.
But a lot of people would say, okay, but this is the fire of the century.
Yeah, put it out.
Put it out.
Put it out, please. Yeah. I don't give a fuck what you're putting on.
Bring the salt water to my house.
Yeah, yeah, exactly.
Put it there.
I have live on oceanfront. Yeah, just put a line on my beach if you don't, and suck water from the ocean. Yeah, I don't. There's no reason that they shouldn't use it other than detrimental to equipment and the earth. But so is fire.
Yeah.
And people's lives.
And that was my, I went down an AI rabbit hole on it and kind of had a bit of a debate with AI. Mm-hmm. And there have been civilizations in the past who have used salt water to put out their fires mm-hmm. and salt water firefighter civilizations. Mm-hmm. And like, it's not obvious that it's like horribly detrimental on a large scale.
Mm-hmm.
It's not proven.
Right.
There's a lot of theoretic concerns. But
I would think that it's so diluted by the time you spread it out over a mountainside to put out a fire that you're not putting enough salt on the earth to prevent vegetation regrowth. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. I don't know. I'm glad it's not me, honestly.
Well, then now the conspiracies are bountiful.
Oh, no doubt.
Regarding why the fires exist. And
that's why Maui's we needed been, Heath here.
Yeah, Maui's been thrown back into the mix. But back to Joseph Robinette Biden. You remember, like, you know, when North Carolina and they had the rain and the tornadoes and the floods. And
mm-hmm.
They got in Maui and they got like $750.
Yep.
But now, since California is a blue state and, you know, votes blue heavily, he made the statement that no expense shall be spared. We'll fund your recovery 100%, whatever you need.
Is he still president?
Oh, God, for another few days.
Okay.
For another few days.
Wow.
Unless something happens.
Okay.
You never know. You never know.
You know, it's tough. That's
the old blue beam project.
I know, right? It's so in light of the fires, well, maybe not in light of the fires. Good old Mark Zuckerberg is moving out of California.
He's leaving California. I didn't even know he lived in California. I don't know where the dude lived in the first place. So.
Where's he moving to? Oh, Texas. Yes.
I saw he was on the Rogan podcast.
Yeah, I actually didn't watch that one. I caught this video post that he put out.
Uh-huh.
And it is a very interesting post because basically he is backing up his position, not backing up, but backing his position up that he he's becoming free speech.
Okay, so yeah, that was the gist that I got, even though I have not seen this. This is 5-something minutes long, but I guess we can skim through this, and you can dictate what we should be able to pull from this.
So. Hey, everyone. I want to talk about something important.
You can catch within 30 seconds.
It's time to get back to our roots around free expression.
He's definitely a reptilian, though.
Oh, yes.
We can agree on that. Yeah.
Alien.
Facebook and Instagram. I started building social media to give people a voice. I gave a speech at Georgetown 5 years ago about the importance of protecting free expression, and I still believe this today. But a lot has happened over the last several years. There's been widespread debate about potential harms from online content. Governments and legacy media have pushed to censor more and more. A lot of this is clearly political.
So there it is. Like he's basically admitting that they were under government pressure.
Yep. And no more.
Yeah.
They cut the fact checkers off. No more fact checkers.
Yeah. Which were fat blue-haired leftists, you know, basically in their mom's basement.
Right. And they're going to a community notes. So it's not, if you don't like speech that you read online, you can actually put a community notes there where you discourse the appropriateness of the speech, but that's as far as it goes.
Okay. So why do they feel they have a need to police it in any way? For the wholesomeness of their platform, I guess, just for the integrity?
Yeah, it's... Because they were an arm of the government, right?
Yeah.
A means of control.
Yes.
A powerful means of control.
Uh-huh.
So it makes perfect sense that the government would want to utilize this means of control.
Mm-hmm.
And it did so very effectively during COVID.
Oh, yeah. Absolutely.
Right?
Everything that did not follow the narrative either got... shadow banned or a misinformation banner or the grayed out.
Yeah, or people opaque. Just got canceled.
Or, yeah, they just got removed from the fucking platforms.
Yeah.
So let's see.
A lot of legitimately bad stuff out there. Drugs, terrorism, child exploitation. These are things that we take very seriously, and I want to make sure that we handle responsibly. So we built...
I like this, that this dude is a gajillionaire, but somehow in a fucking studio where you can hear traffic in the audio.
Yeah.
And room noise, too. Like, come on, Zuck.
Complex systems to moderate content. But the problem with complex systems is they make mistakes. Even if they accidentally censor just 1% of posts, that's millions of people. And we've reached a point where it's just too many mistakes and too much censorship. The recent elections also feel like a cultural tipping point towards once again prioritizing speech. So we're going to get back to our roots and focus on reducing mistakes, simplifying our policies, and restoring free expression on our platforms. More specifically, here's what we're going to do. First, we're going to get rid of fact checkers and replace them with community notes.
So then he goes into kind of specifically what's going to transpire. The only thing that stuck with me that he said was the getting rid of fact checkers and then moving to Texas.
Mm-hmm.
Because Texas
supports free speech.
Yep.
But don't gamble. And don't drink liquor on a Sunday.
Right. Or and get busted using pot.
Yeah, don't smoke weed, bro.
Yeah.
Don't do that, okay?
Definitely don't get busted transporting it.
Other than that, we love our freedoms.
U.S. After Trump first got elected...
Is that a motherfucker on a four-wheeler outside of his... Do you hear that?
Yeah, I hear it.
Where the fuck is he? What are you doing?
I didn't catch it on my phone, but I hear it through this system.
I keep
sure.
thinking it's somebody out of our studio, and it's like, no, this audio is with this.
Yeah.
This is hilarious. Back to Zuck.
2016, the legacy media wrote nonstop about how misinformation was a threat to democracy. We tried in good faith to address those concerns without becoming the arbiters of truth. But the fact checkers have just been too politically biased and have destroyed more trust than they've created, especially in the US. So over the next couple of months, we're going to phase in a more comprehensive community notes system. Second, we're going to simplify our content policies and get rid of a bunch of restrictions on topics like immigration and gender that are just out of touch with mainstream discourse. What started as a movement to be more inclusive has increasingly been used to shut down opinions,
I mean,
shut
right.
out people with different ideas, and it's gone too far. So I want to make sure that people can share their beliefs and experiences on our platforms. Third, we're changing how we enforce our policies to reduce the mistakes that account for the vast majority of censorship on our platforms. We used to have filters that scanned for any policy violation. Now, we're going to focus those filters on tackling illegal and high-severity violations. And for lower-severity violations, we're going to rely on someone reporting an issue before we take action.
Oh, come on! I can't tell you how many posts that I've reported for, like, threats of violence or spam, or just because, like, I don't like the person. But I can tell, like, it's a leftist, like, telling me to kill myself or something, and I'll just report it. And they're like, well, we found this content does not go against our community standards or guidelines. Oh, okay, but if it was on the other hat.
Right. Meaning they were just on the same side of the aisle.
Mm.
Yeah.
Yeah. Where his employees are, basically.
Mm-hmm.
So, is Facebook a publicly traded company? Are they on?
I think so.
An indice? Okay.
Yeah.
So, basically, this is just telling me that their shareholders are jumping ship.
Yeah.
So we got
to
do something.
He had to. Make mistakes, and they take down a lot of content that they shouldn't. So by dialing them back, we're going to dramatically reduce the amount of censorship on our platforms. We're also going to tune our content filters to require much higher confidence before taking down content. The reality is that this is a trade-off. It means we're going to catch less bad stuff, but we'll also reduce the number of innocent people's posts and accounts that we accidentally take down. Fourth, we're bringing back civic content. For a while, the community asked to see less politics because it was making people stressed, so we stopped recommending these posts. But it feels like we're in a new era now, and we're starting to get feedback that people want to see this content again. So we're going to start phasing this back into Facebook, Instagram, and Threads while working to keep the communities friendly and positive. Fifth, we're going to move our trust and safety and content moderation teams out of California, and our U.S.-based content review is going to be based in Texas.
Oh, my God.
As we work to promote free expression, I think that it will help us build trust to do this work in places where there is less concern about the bias of our teams. Finally, we're going to work with President Trump to push back on governments around the world that are going after American companies and pushing to censor more.
Mm.
The U.S. has the strongest constitutional protections for free expression in the world. Europe has an ever-increasing number of laws institutionalizing censorship and making it difficult to build anything innovative there. Latin American countries have secret courts that can order companies to quietly take things.
Okay, I've had enough of that reptilian douchebag.
Yep.
But basically,
but you get the idea.
The gist is, we're going to not censor you anymore, but we're still going to censor you, and we're censoring you from Texas now.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
That's the gist.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Okay. Seems
it's a move in the right direction.
Yeah.
Oh, screensaver.
And what Elon would say is
Elon.
He's just doing what Elon is trying to do.
Yeah, because Elon is Elon, like fucking Savage does. Yeah, Elon has made X.
Yeah.
Highly reliable platform once again.
Yeah. It's pretty badass. I don't lie.
So I don't know.
I got on last week to clean up my Twitter feed, and because I was running across a lot of content that I was myself like getting off on, mm-hmm. you know, from political reasons or whatever, mm-hmm. But nothing I would share with like my kids, because it just make them not want to read posts that I send to them, right? You know, it's like, and so I started actually hunting for like decent, like positive media segment. Mm-hmm. Actually, kind of encouraged this.
That is a reference to our new segment, PMS.
Yeah, exactly. And it's like find posts that make you happy. You know,
mm-hmm.
that's and then like those, and then if you read a post and you're like, oh yeah, it's not going to make me happy today, then you just sort of swipe through it, you know?
Mm-hmm.
And after just a day of that, the amount of positive content on my...
Because your algorithm is tuned in to what you're wanting.
Yeah, exactly.
So you're saying the doom scrolling is becoming less of a trend.
Yeah, well, maybe.
I don't know.
You know, it's I don't think it is becoming less of a trend, but maybe it should become less of a trend.
Yeah.
Maybe people, you know, whenever they're going through and before they hit the like button on something, they're like, okay, do I really want to see more of this?
Mm-hmm.
You know, whereas if it's just like this little
but,
kitten that's licking some and kid's face, you know, you're like, oh dude, I want to see.
Like, yeah, dog and cat videos are going to be be a big hit again.
Yeah.
But indulge me here. Like, there's some sort of macabre gratification to doom scrolling, too.
Yeah.
Yeah. There's lyrics in a Nirvana song. I think it's Frances Farmer, where we'll have her revenge on the world, and the lyrics are, I miss the comfort of being sad.
Yeah. That's true. Yeah, so it's like the hole, the rabbit hole, or the confirmation bias.
Yeah.
You know, it's like, okay, I did personally find a lot of confirmation bias online during COVID.
Mm-hmm.
And it just so turns out, I think I was right.
Mm.
You know, it's like at the time I knew what it was. I was sitting there looking for really smart people who were saying really smart things about the situation at hand.
And they have no vested reason financially to say these things that you're agreeing with.
Yeah.
They're not part of the fucking system. So.
Right. And but it could have been dangerous too.
How so?
Well, because what if COVID was.
Like everything you were reading was wrong. That kind of danger? Is that what you're...
Yeah, exactly. Okay. What if I wasn't on the right side of history there?
Well, there's always that risk.
Yeah.
Like, that's the ultimate balance.
Yeah. So now, enter UFOs.
Okay. Yeah. Hello, segue.
Yeah. Enter UFOs.
Or drones?
Or drones. Okay. Yeah, it's like, you go down that rabbit hole, and you're going to find confirmation bias for however you feel.
Sure, yeah, and there's just so much information out there from all walks of the aisle. You're always going to be able to seek that out.
That this is a bit of a first contact situation, or it's not a first contact. We're going to learn that the government, I've heard this from like legacy media sources, right? You know, whatever that means anymore. Okay, the government has been in contact with alien civilizations, that it has this technology that it's covered up, and we really don't know what New Jersey is.
Mm.
You know,
so what are your thoughts? Where is your confirmation bias leading you to?
It's leading me to be more suspicious of the of the news sources.
Oh, like I didn't know that was possible to even be me even. Be even more suspicious.
Like even more.
Yeah.
Even
like,
more.
I didn't know there was a next level.
I know. It's crazy. Yeah. You take somebody like Joe Rogan, right? Who, you know, that's like the want for this alien story to be real is so granular. Like he wants
there to be real aliens.
There to be real.
Please be real. We this is something we need.
Yes, exactly. Yeah. Exactly.
But what they're feeding us from a government level and a media level is like appetizers, just enough fodder to keep us starved.
Yeah.
And dependent.
It's fucking dope.
Yeah, like you don't
it's
get
dope. They're feeding us dope.
You don't get answers.
Yeah.
You just get the dope.
Yeah.
The cocaine out of the rat straw.
Yeah. That's what I think they're doing.
So this reminds me of like something like the Iron Mountain report, or report from Iron Mountain, which was a book or a play.
Yeah, so this was interesting, and if you ever have time, it might be actually worth Googling.
Mm-hmm.
The Iron Mountain Report.
The Iron Mountain Report.
So it was published in 1967.
Uh-huh.
Okay.
But it was published as an anti-war satire.
That's what they say.
Yeah.
Okay, and this is why you should read the report from Iron Mountain, okay, to decide for yourself, because there's nothing really satirical about it. And maybe it's just a higher level of satire that I don't grasp.
Mm-hmm.
But basically, this was a report that was written by a third party for the government war machine, conveying what would have to happen if to keep the war economy going if the government stopped its pursuit of war. Right? 1967. So this is right at the kind of the outset
Cold War.
Yeah, Cold War, Vietnam. Yeah. You know, but if we stop this war policy, what are we going to do to keep this economy
like
up?
Like, peace is not good for financial.
It's not.
Yeah.
Yeah, it's not. And it lays in the report, it lays out the reasons.
Okay.
That we need to probably stay at war.
So the modern version of that would be, well, we've damn near been at war with every fucking country in the world, so what's next? Aliens?
Yeah, you just...
Is that the... just keeping people wondering?
Yeah, yeah. Or global warming.
Oh, yeah. So another facade.
Yeah.
But something to be constantly worried about.
It's
always a battle.
So you have to create an economic vigilant... Mm-hmm. A mechanism of that economic vigilance.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
And war is the perfect vigilance, according to the report.
Because everybody feels like they're affected by it.
Yeah, exactly. But in... If you got rid of war, maybe you could just, like, you know, make up a little alien strategy, you know?
Well, I would tell you, without even with global peace, like, a large employer out of this area is gone. Lockheed Martin's afuera. It's gone. There's no need for them.
Yeah.
So then what do all those people do for a living?
I don't know.
Yeah.
I don't know. That's crazy. So all that to say is, that, well... Because I've looked at this report from Iron Mountain, I don't think it's a satire, but I could be wrong.
Well, it's like Mike Judge's film, Idiocracy, was not really a comedy. It was kind of a foreshadowing documentary.
Same
with WALL-E.
I kind of think this alien stuff is all made up.
I hope not, man. I really want, like, there is some good information from people like Bob Lazar,
mm-hmm.
And testimony from people that have had firsthand experience with
something's up.
Alien technology.
Yeah, they say something's up.
Yeah. I want there to be, like, I get it. There's got to be a government conspiracy agenda, but man, I really want the real thing too.
Yeah. Yeah.
Please be aliens. Please show up and visit us.
So do you think?
Right here. Whiskey Bros Hill. Maybe this hill out here, it's already a beacon for large military aircraft. So
you would like to be that dude.
Yeah. Just land here on my hill.
Okay.
Even though Heath lives here.
Even though it's
on
like
the hill and cut and shoot.
Yeah, your land is going to be fucked. It's like, it's going to be overrun.
I'm going to be so pissed off if Heath is their first contact. He's like, fuck y'all want.
Yeah.
It just turns into Savage Bro. And I'm like, it's 2 a.m. You know what the fuck you're doing here at 2 a.m.? I've got to sleep.
Shoot first, ask questions later.
What? Hey, man, why are there dead gray beings on my... You know what? They weren't where they were supposed to be at 2 a.m.
What do you think? What do you think?
I'm a skeptic at heart, but part of me sees some of the stuff that has come to light, and it's like there has to be otherworldly influence from a historical perspective and a current perspective of technological advancements.
Yeah.
What
are they calling it? Intergalactic Federation?
Sounds good to me.
It's like there's a whole galactic federation of other beings.
Yeah. That we just aren't, because you and I are civilian peasants.
We don't.
We aren't aware of.
Right. But that our government authority has actually
definitely
been in contact with. That's the story.
Maybe is that the secret of the Freemasons? They're like the gatekeeper.
I don't know. That's interesting.
You know,
maybe.
That's the thing. Like, we've had a few friends that are Freemasons, but there's supposed to be like this underlying thing they can never divulge.
It's like the Illuminati.
Yeah.
Yeah.
They know something, and unless you're part of them, you don't have that. You're not privy to that information.
I know, right?
Yeah, we need to get some of our Freemason friends really, really drunk.
It's that.
What is the truth serum? Do you have that as a doctor, as a medical professional? Is it sodium pentothal?
Yeah, that's correct. Good job.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Is that really it? Sodium pentothal?
Pentothal.
So, like, is that really a thing?
Yeah.
Like, you can give somebody this and they open up to everything?
Lose their capacity to lie.
Wow. But you have to know what to, like, they're not just going to freewheel everything they've lied about. You have to know what to ask them.
Yeah, right? Exactly.
Okay.
Hmm. We'll see.
We're planning. We're scheming. You know, sometimes you just like to cut ties with all of this and sit at home and play some Doom.
Oh, yeah.
Just to veg out and play some Doom.
Or watch a dude play Doom.
Or watch...
Go through an art museum.
Or watch a modern reproduction of Doom. They call this the gentrified...
Dude.
Oh. This is the gentrified version of Doom. So,
oh my gosh.
It is the same.
It's fucking brilliant.
It's the same map and layout as all the Doom, but all the enemies have been turned into wine bottles, and you're walking around through an art museum with a wine glass as your gun. I want to see. This is outrageous.
Wow.
Oh, there's some cheese. Got some cheese. But I like that it's still got the graphic of the guy on the bottom. Like, all right, where's an enemy? I want to see. Oh, that's enough of that. I just thought that was hilarious.
It's got some truth to it.
Gentrified Doom. We were back on the medication subject.
Mm-hmm.
We were just talking about sodium pentothal, but not sodium pentothal. You've been treating me for an ongoing stomach ulcer of, I don't know, 3 years now. But you just put me on this stuff called BPC-157.
Right.
It's a peptide, a gastric peptide, right?
Mm-hmm. So as a matter of fact, it is. Good job.
Used to treat a multitude of things involving like injuries to bones, muscles, tendons.
Yeah.
All kinds of stuff. Like they found that there's really great benefit for. But you're utilizing it orally for me to treat an ulcer, which I think is making progress.
How long?
I think I'm on day like 10 or 11 now.
Okay, so you think you already feel...
And I've noticed less burning.
Okay.
Still some every now and then, but not to the extent that it was.
Wow. Okay. Yeah.
But that just, for whatever fucking reason, I was sitting thinking like, what if Doc gave me a placebo?
Oh yeah.
And this was just
that's
some
valid
placebo
point.
That convinced my mind that, hey, you have this area here that I'm now taking this product to encourage healing for, but it's not really a product. It's just a gelatin capsule full of sawdust.
Right.
So is the placebo effect really a thing?
Yes.
Does your mind really have the capacity to heal an unhealed injury of maybe potentially years?
Yes.
But because somebody gave you a placebo and it caused you to focus on what you need healed, your brain's like, oh, yeah, we'll get that taken care of.
Yeah. Used to.
Okay.
Doctors could prescribe Obacalp.
Okay.
And it's just a sugar pill. It came in red and blue.
Huh.
And
that's a nice matrix.
Yeah, I know, right? It's a placebo spelled backwards. Obacalp.
Obacalp. Okay.
Yeah, and with the goal being to trick somebody into getting better. So
it's a real thing.
It's a real thing.
Have you ever utilized it?
No, it like that practice was called into question.
Yeah.
Before I came along, apparently it's not ethical.
I can see why it's not. Because, like, if you have a cancer patient and you gave them a placebo,
yeah, right,
and they still fucking died, then it's like, oh, well, that didn't work.
It's like their condition's real.
Yeah.
What improvement that they make is not real.
Yeah. You don't want people to be a guinea pig to an extent. But
right. When in reality, it's funny because we're all guinea pigs.
Yeah. Like, you are practicing medicine.
Yes.
For sure. But... I would really, so that's a peer-reviewed study, though. Like the placebo, there have been instances where placebo effect has taken place, and people have, without any other substance other than their mental, their brain.
Yeah, and the trickery.
Yeah.
Yeah.
They have healed themselves.
Sure. Yeah. And
fascinating.
Yeah, it's interesting. So,
but they have gone unhealed until that placebo effect.
Right. Right. That's true. Because healing is a property of biology.
Sure. Yeah.
And so we tend to, you know, it's like medicine is cool stuff, and any medicine, i.e. Ambien, can also be a poison.
Yeah.
Right? And that's part of the art of medicine. It's like, oh, alcohol mm-hmm. can be medicinal, and it can be poisonous at the same time.
Sure.
And it all depends on how you use it.
Moderation.
And what you use it for.
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah.
But, yeah, it's... So, I don't know where I was going with that.
I don't either. But to me, it's just fascinating. Like, I could have an ulcer of 3 years thinking, okay, when it does, you know, when you get that burning sensation, like, oh, it's still there. That's annoying. But it never heals. Or if you gave me a placebo and I'm conscientious of the fact that I'm supposed to be taking this thing to heal this thing, but it's nothing but sawdust or sugar, but it still heals. That's fascinating to me.
It is fascinating. Mind's powerful.
Yeah, but why hasn't my mind in the 3 years without a placebo, every time I've thought about how annoying this thing is, gone, oh, we need to heal that right up?
And luckily, we know enough about BPC-157 to suspect that it's actually doing you some good.
Yeah.
And very little harm.
Mm-hmm.
So probably it is the medicine.
We got to get Carson back on the show because he and I were chatting about he's been using it, injecting it. I can't remember if it's for his elbows. I think it was tennis
elbow. Yeah, like
tennis
elbow.
Yeah, he was getting to the point where he's like, I was going to have to quit the gym because even, you know, all therapeutic practices that I tried to get my elbows, nothing fucking worked.
Yep.
And he said, as a last resort, started this BPC-157.
Yep.
And he's like, I'm lifting better than I was in my 20s.
Yeah, yeah. It's a fucking magic.
Mm-hmm.
That's what it is. There's no fucking magic, but it turns out that very specific, like, nagging joint, tendon, ligament injuries, gastrointestinal stuff, and then it turns out endothelial damage.
Mm-hmm.
It can correct that. So that is like inside of blood vessels.
Oh, okay.
Right.
So what would that relate that to? A diagnosis. What would...
Heart attack.
Oh, no shit.
Stroke.
Okay.
Yeah. So...
So damage occurring because of that, or damage occurring before you have a heart attack or stroke? That adds up to...
Yeah, we don't know enough to even remotely make that claim at all. But, you know, it's okay, so this is interesting. Whenever I have somebody now with a gastric ulcer, very early on, I'll say, have you ever heard of this peptide?
Mm-hmm.
You know, usually like that, a little nasally, you know, like Kermit the Frog.
Yeah. Heard of this peptide?
Have you ever heard of this peptide?
Man, see? Yeah.
And I'll bring it up to them and then get them poking around on it on the internet, you know, learning
Which
about it.
Which is exactly what you did with me.
Yeah. It's because this is a new experimental thing. And, COVID vaccines were new experimental things.
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah, but you said, don't get one of those.
Yeah, that's, I mean...
And you are my doctor, so all I needed was like, that's what my doctor told me not to do, so I'm not going to do it.
Right, right. I could have been wrong.
You could have been, and I would have been dead.
But yeah.
We're not. Here we are.
Right, right. Aren't you glad you didn't get one?
I'm glad. Yeah. I was teetering. I really was. Not,
so was I.
Not to anything against your judgment. I was teetering, but what the deciding factor was is I went and got my antibody test done, and I was positive for antibodies, and it was like I had it, was completely asymptomatic, apparently.
Yeah, so, exactly. And we all know people in our first degree circle that went and got a COVID vaccine, and felt perfectly justified doing it at the time.
Nothing wrong with that. Yeah.
Like they weren't, it wasn't this politicized thing at the time. Very early.
It shouldn't have ever been.
Right.
It should have been an information-based decision disregarding politics entirely.
Yeah. I would have had mine had I not got COVID.
Yeah.
Then I got COVID and I was like, fuck, I'll just go wait three more months before I decide to get a vaccine.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And then the lies came.
That's what turned me.
I think was a big part. Well, in hindsight, it was like, well, this thing is 90, it has a 95% efficacy.
So,
and then
that's a,
and the first lie was it will stop. You will not get COVID.
Yeah.
And then people got COVID.
Yes.
You got the vaccine. Then the next lie was, well, you won't transmit COVID. You're not transmittable.
Yeah.
Then people transmitted COVID to other people that had the vaccine from people that have COVID from the or after having the vaccine. There, so that was another lie.
There was no way the claims they were making about it that early were that true.
Yeah. No way.
That's what there was caused me to
there was
pause.
No, what is a typical timeline for a vaccine? Like 10 to 20 years to collect enough data to know?
Probably.
Okay. So anyways.
Yeah.
The next lie was, well, if you get COVID and you've had the vaccine, your symptoms will be minor or yeah. less. And then we all know people that had COVID vaccines that are fucking dead and gone now.
Yeah.
Were their symptoms yeah. less? I know plenty of people that had COVID vaccines that were in the fucking hospital, and they still regurgitated the lie, well, thank God I had the vaccine or I would have been dead.
Yeah.
Bro.
Yeah. How?
They're so, in the hospital.
You know, and then at some point, we just were like, fuck it all. We're just going to paint ourselves with the brush that we're being painted with.
Yeah.
You know, that okay, we are vaccine deniers.
Yeah, absolutely.
You know, it's like we...
Embrace that.
Yeah, we entered the point where we looked around and we were like, fuck it all. We're just already on this side of the aisle. We are so far this side of the aisle. And at that point, we owned it.
Yeah, we had to. You can't let them. You can't let them revel in the fact that they were getting to you. Like you, we had to own it.
I'd good.
So what? I'm a vaccine denier. Okay.
Yeah. I had a good friend in the medical community, also a family physician, who, man, we had some really long, seedy arguments.
Okay.
Debates.
Yeah.
As this was occurring.
Mm-hmm.
And really trying to figure out some way to like flesh this out scientifically to know what the right, you know, and every conversation ended with, I just feel I'm right.
Yeah.
And he would say the same thing.
A gut feeling.
I just feel this is the right way to be. I can't substantiate it. I just feel like this is the right way to be. And so it was a pretty fucked up time.
So how did have you had a conversation with that colleague?
Now we actually avoid the conversation.
You don't like revel in like, hey bro.
No.
Still feel like your gut feeling was right?
Damn it. I know.
You're not an asshole. You're not a savage bro, huh?
No.
Hey, remember that time and all those conversations we had? I was right and you were wrong.
See, and there's still part of my brain. Okay, that leaves a small space for the eventuality that I was wrong. Yeah, that.
Yeah, you had
10
you
years
had,
from now, we're going to learn
yeah.
that we all should have got them.
I don't think so.
I really don't think so.
Yeah, I don't think we had to worry about that.
Yeah.
Now, whatever else is coming around, you know, the corner.
Yeah,
bird flu. Or whatever they've got, you know. Scheduled up for us
mm-hmm.
on the deep state agenda.
I think the theme, like the big takeaway for me was the new technology, the mRNA part of the vaccine.
Yeah, it's not a vaccine.
Right. So that's where I'm probably going to steer clear from mRNA technologies for now.
Weren't these were... Before COVID, these were already being studied as treatments for cancer, right?
Right, right.
So, is there...
And that, I would say there's probably still that? Great hope
okay.
there. You know, it's like, get something that can affect your DNA
mm-hmm.
at the cellular level.
Yeah.
And it can be a powerful anti-cancer vaccine.
Okay.
Right? So there's great hope there. We just kind of fucked it all up.
Went the wrong direction. Went the wrong direction. Went after the wrong target.
Yeah, yeah. We started thinking.
But there was a shitload of money to be made for going after that target,
yeah.
wasn't there?
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah.
What do you think about like gene editing from the CRISPR?
It's scary.
Yeah.
Scary stuff. But
that would also be a solution to big diseases like cancer. Right?
Yep.
Like you literally cut the shit out of your DNA.
Right, being able to gene edit on somebody who's alive,
mm-hmm.
currently alive.
That's going to be fascinating.
It is fascinating. Hmm. A dangerous tool as well.
Oh, yeah. You could wipe out humanity, human sure. life as we know it.
Sure.
By something that's transmissible.
Yep.
Okay.
Wow.
Well, I think we should wrap this one up.
Okay.
Maybe with some fun news.
Oh, yeah.
New rankings from Data Pandas. Never heard of them, so we can't vouch for them, but they are an online library of various data sets like health, the economy, and demographics. And they have recently compiled the smallest and biggest penis size around the globe.
What, we know?
Yeah, I guess we do.
Oh, okay.
So, the top spots, no surprise here.
Dude, I...
The top spots go to Sudan and the Democratic Republic of the Congo.
Yes, okay.
So, cheers to our friends from Africa. There you go, Ruben. Congratulations.
What's the average penis size?
Here's the problem.
Is it length or girth?
Okay. That's a good question. Okay. So, I think we're going on length alone here, right?
Wow.
There's no girth. But the average length...
I need some minor case on this one. Yeah.
The problem is, you have ChatGPT on your phone, don't you?
Yes.
Okay, cue that shit up, because we're going to need this, because we are America, and we don't work on the fucking metric system.
Oh, yeah, okay.
Okay, so they are saying the average length is 17.95 centimeters.
Hey, Siri. What is 17.95 centimeters in inches?
That would be 7.07 inches.
That's it? Just 7 inches?
Wow.
Okay. All right. So I don't feel so bad after all.
So that's the average penis size in Democrat Republic of Congo.
Congo and Sudan. And then Ecuador, surprisingly, and our South America brethren came in third with an average size of 17.59. So just...
Hey, Siri, what... What is 17.59 centimeters in inches?
17.59 centimeters is 6.93 inches.
Well, that's feeling pretty normal.
So this was basically a UK article, and it was revealed that the news is not good for UK men. Sorry to our friends Josh and Emma, but UK men did not stack up well as far as average penis size went. But... You weren't at the bottom either. Thailand and North Korea.
But they're all amazingly close. That's
No. Dude. Okay, so you go from...
Oh, shit, they're
the
not.
Sudan as an average of 7 inches
to Philippines?
To fucking Thailand that is 9 centimeters.
What, it's like half.
Okay, what is that? Yeah, literally half.
Hey, Siri. What is 9.43 centimeters in inches?
9.43 centimeters is 3.71 inches.
Wow. That's, whew. So, okay.
I mean, that's kind of micro penis, right?
Yeah. Those guys should be driving lifted trucks with big tires. Oh, wait, that's not what they do there. So here are the top 10s. For best and longest penis sizes, and the top 10s for worst and shortest penis sizes. Top 10 for the longest average. We're talking erect here. We're not talking we're not talking hangers. Like, you know, some of us.
That's important to say that.
Yeah. Some of us are growers and not showers, right?
Right.
Like, that's a real thing, okay?
Right.
Sudan at the top of the list, the Congo, Ecuador, fourth for longest erect penis, Republic of the Congo. So you have two different Congos in there. You have the Democratic. Okay, so you have the Democratic and the Republic.
That's true.
Then you have Ghana, Nigeria. Damn, I mean, African, obviously.
Yeah, top spots.
Yeah, Venezuela, number 7, so another South American. Hmm. Lebanon, Middle Eastern. Colombia, another South American. And then, number 10, Cameroon. Okay. Top 10 countries with the smallest average erect penis length. Thailand, North Korea, Cambodia, Nepal, Myanmar, however you say that, Laos, Vietnam, Sri Lanka, South Korea, and the Philippines.
Yeah.
Our Asian brothers.
South Asian.
Those poor bastards.
Gosh.
So.
Okay, so I don't really know how I rank in there.
It doesn't
kind of
say
middle of the road. You know?
It's, what does it say about the UK? It doesn't say anything about America. Ecuador. Yeah, I don't see a global. Oh, globally, the findings work out to an average penis size of 13.91,
which was.
Yep.
Hey Siri. How many inches is 13.91 centimeters?
13.91 centimeters is 5.48 inches.
Okay, so that's, yeah, definitely average. Okay, okay, here it is for the UK. They have come in 60th place at 14.30 centimeters for an erect penis length. And they come in 40th place with an erect penis girth at 12.22 centimeters.
So does it matter? Does penis length matter?
Let's ask our ladies. Call the doc line and let us know. Damn, where's that doc line number? It's not up here anymore. It's on the, it got taken off of the notes.
We have no clue what the doc line
is. I don't remember it anymore. It's gone. It's fucking gone. Are you kidding me?
Oh, man. Okay, we're going to have to add it to the show notes.
It was there. It's just gone now. Like, and nope, I don't
got no clue.
Have no clue what that number is.
Or where we would get
Send us a message on Facebook or Instagram or YouTube.
Does it matter?
Does penis... erect penis, specifically
erect.
Erect penis. Does it matter?
Because obviously non-erect penis size doesn't matter.
Yeah, you know, it's nice to be the dude that's like, you can whip it out and you're just fucking hung like a horse.
Yeah, right?
Yeah, we're not those dudes.
No, no, no. But
cheers to you that we're blessed with that, but we are not those dudes.
Yeah, right?
But we're growers, not showers. We can put on a show.
Yes. Okay, so does it matter... erect.
Yeah. Ladies, let us know. Somehow let us know because the doc line number is gone.
I don't think it would matter.
This says, it does say here that the saying goes, size doesn't matter, but apparently it does matter more to men than it does to women.
There you go.
So we're just comparing.
So it doesn't matter.
Yeah, we're just comparing ourselves to each other.
Yeah.
Now, if you're a gay man, I don't really know.
I don't know.
If you're a gay listener of ours, let us know. If you're a dude
please that do.
Prefers the company of other dudes, your opinion matters to us.
You know who I want on the show?
Who?
You have a gay friend.
Oh, yeah.
That's
we have.
So with all the
more than one
political changes.
But like, what's the chief call them? Old school gays? Like,
yeah, old school gay.
Yeah.
Yeah, with all the political changes gone on, he's in the Republican Party.
Mm-hmm.
And he might be able to speak.
Oh, we're talking about Leo.
Yeah.
Yeah. We got to get him on for sure. Yeah.
He'd be a great, great guy to have on the podcast.
Yeah. He's definitely. Yeah. He's an old school gay.
Okay. Leo, if you're listening.
Come on.
We got to get you here.
We got to know about your penis preference. And
yes.
And lots of other things, too. I think that covers it for me, man.
Good.
Is that all you had?
I'm good.
Can we finish this sourdough?
Fuck yeah. Okay.
So, eat the food that makes you chew. Work those jaws.
Yeah.
And don't worry about your penis size.
Yeah, get some sourdough starter.
Yeah. We've learned a few good lessons tonight.
Right. Talk to an old soul who has a sourdough starter.
Because
that person is just somebody you should be spending time with for your own edification. Period.
True. Okay. Wise words.
Yeah, I like it.
All right, folks. Good night.
Adios.
You've been listening to the Whiskey Bros Around the Table.
Convivir con los hermanos Whiskey.